been a while since I've been up, about 9 months, I think. A lot been going on this year. But when Pastor Rick asked me to preach, I said to him, so, you know, what do you want me to do? And he said to me, right, well, we're on the same track. He says, I want you to continue on the theme of not of this world, but I want you to layer over that, I will walk with him, which is a short series that Rick had been working on. And so I said, okay, that's fair enough. So I've been praying about that. And I really believe that God has given me today, it's a sermon, but it's actually more of a testimony for you, because that is a summary of what God has done in my life in the 41 years that I've been here attending this church. He has taught me that I am to walk not of this world. He's taught me how to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, he's taught me how to walk with my Savior Jesus Christ. And so today I want to share that with you and hopefully encourage you. Let's just pray as we start. Lord God Almighty, we thank you and praise you that we can come into this place week after week after week, and faithful men and women of Christ seek your face and the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can bring your revelation word through us to the people. And I pray today, Lord, that that would continue as well. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just bring revelation to people today for what they need in this day, at this moment, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen? Amen? Amen. Over to you now. Your job is to seek Holy Spirit as I speak. Okay. For me, my journey sort of began towards God in about 1971. We moved here from Melbourne, I hadn't really attended church as a youngster, but when I came up to Sydney, I was already in high school and I wanted to meet people, and so thought it might be a good idea to turn up at the local church and see if I could meet some people. And so I did. It was Presbyterian Church down at Castle Hill there. And that was a 4 years of there. Come forward 4 years, in 1975 was a special year for me. The previous year, 1974, I remember scripture was compulsory back in my day. You know, everybody had to go to scripture. I was a bit of a disturbing influence in scripture, believe it or not. And I remember that in that year, I was in scripture, and it was the first time I'd ever got the cane was in scripture. Go figure. At high school in Castle Hill. God's got a sense of humor, I tell you. But anyway, in 1974, a lady came to teach scripture. And she didn't just kind of preach at us, and she opened up a book and she read a story to us, which took weeks and weeks. Every week she'd just read this story. And I became encaptured by this story. And it was the story called The Cross and the Switchblade, David Wilkinson, about Nicky Cruz. And it kind of really intrigued me, you know, the whole story. Well, in 1975, my mum, who's sitting over here, had cottoned on to the fact that this had happened in my life. And Nicky Cruz came to Australia for a conference. And so she organized for me and Dad to go to that conference. Well, when I was there and I saw him, he's a Puerto Rican, muscly dude, very stocky, big scar down the side of his face. But when he spoke, and I saw the pure joy. I knew his story. I knew that he was a very, very bad man, had done a lot of bad things as a Mau Mau leader of the gangs and the ghettos of America, but he had found God, and the power of God had transformed his life. And I saw it with my own eyes. And on that morning, I remember saying, that's what I want. Lord, I want what he's got. And so I took myself down the front and I gave my life to Christ. But what's more important, I turned around and my father was following me. And he came down and my father gave his heart to the Lord on that same morning. Well, I went back to church, didn't quite know what to do with this new experience, but I knew that my life was different. And I started to read my word with a different eyes, I suppose the veil had been taken off there. And I started to read about things like the Holy Spirit, and I hadn't really heard about this, even at the church I was going to. And so I started to get inquisitive about these things. But in that walk, I realized something very quickly, that the church I was at didn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, they taught against it. And so I started this quest to go and find out what this was about. I could see it in the Bible. I could read about it, but nobody was telling me about it. There's a scripture in Jeremiah 29 and verse 12. When you call out to me and come to me in prayer, I will hear your prayers. When you seek me in prayer and worship, you will find me available to you. If you seek me with all your heart and soul, I will make myself available to you, says the Lord. I found that to be true. To seek God. And so we went on this quest and we started, you know, sort of searching what we do. I remember once in that journey, Susan and I were newly married and we'd met some people and, you know, they had said, you know, come along to our church. And I'd never heard of this church before, but it sounded, you know, sounded like a good church. It sounded like it was Jesus-centered. And so we went along and something strange happened. I was standing in that place with the leaders just as they were showing me around the building. And I heard this voice said to me, Andrew, get your wife and get out of here now. And I'm thinking, what? I'd not heard this sort of thing before. Anyway, it came again. So I just quietly leaned over to Susan. I said, darling, grabbed her hand. I said, you and I need to leave right now. Anyway, she knows me well enough. She said, okay, and we left. That church was actually called the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. I believe it was a church that God didn't want me to be involved in. So we came back again. But shortly after that, Susan was posted into a new teaching position over at Riverston here. When we were there, she met up with another teacher who happened to be teaching there called Pastor Ian Woods. He wasn't a pastor at that time. He was just a teacher. And as she met him, and through that relationship, we discovered that God was talking to us through a man and a woman, Joan, who started to open up the scriptures to us and tell us about the things of the Holy Spirit. And through that, we actually sort of became, I suppose, mentored by them. And in 1982, we began the church here in the Hawkesbury. It was about a month after that that I actually asked Ian to pray for me, and I got prayed for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But for me, it was interesting. I prayed it, but nothing happened. I couldn't get breakthrough. I couldn't pray in the Spirit. I think I maybe had a little bit of baggage, you know, which I had to carry, you know, from my previous experience there. And for 3 months, I battled with this desire to be close to God, close to Jesus, and to discover what this Holy Spirit was all about and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And about November 1982, I was sitting in church and Pastor Ian was preaching, and he preached a sermon called Being a Friend of Jesus. And as I listened to that, I thought, that's what I want. I don't want just to know about Jesus. I don't want just to come to church and hear stories and go, well, that was a good sermon, or that was a bit ordinary. I wanted to know Jesus really closely for myself. Even though I was saved, I knew there was so much more for me. And so after the service was finished, I took myself to the front of the church, and Ian came over and I said, can you please pray for me? I want you to pray that I would be close to Jesus, that I would know him as my friend. And as he laid his hands on me and he started to pray for me to be close to Jesus, I burst out praying in the Spirit. Whoa. And it was just like this flood came over me, and I've not stopped for 41 years. It has changed my life and has led me into the most amazing walk with him. But after that happened, there were times that I would sit down and I would be pondering and thinking, why is it that when I went forward to become the friend of Jesus, to get that close, intimate relationship, why was it at that time that I got baptized in the Holy Spirit? I'm glad you asked that question. You see, I had been sort of pressing in and really, really wanting this for 3 months and before that, in the year that I'd been pursuing it. But as I started to ask Jesus that question, this is the answer that I got from him. He said, Andrew, don't seek and desire the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Wait for it. Don't seek and desire the baptism of the Holy Spirit just so you can speak in tongues and get some cool gifts of the Spirit. Seek me and pursue and accept Holy Spirit as I've sent him so that you can truly know me. And so my answer to the prayer, Jesus came and he allowed me to get relationship with Holy Spirit so that I could get to know Jesus better, so that I could get close to him, because I now have Holy Spirit and he has shown me Christ in a whole new way. See, the role of the Holy Spirit came so that he could reflect Jesus to us, so that he could make him known to us and lead us into all truth. He is the conduit by which we know Jesus Christ. He is the conduit by which we know the Father. Our Father is in heaven. He is Spirit. Jesus Christ has gone into heaven to be with his Father. Holy Spirit has been sent so that he could be the conduit for us. In John 14 and verse 26, it says, but when the Father sends the advocate as, well, Jesus is actually saying this, but when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and remind you of everything that I've told you. That was John 14, 26. John 16, verse 13 says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring glory to me. Wow. Here's Jesus speaking, saying that Holy Spirit is going to bring glory to me by telling you whatever he receives from me. I want to have that Holy Spirit close to me so that I can bring glory to Christ as well, and so that I can hear what Jesus is telling the Holy Spirit into my life. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said, the Spirit will tell you whatever he receives from me. That's straight from the Word of God. So to be filled with the Spirit is to be intimate with Jesus Christ. That is why often you'll see that when you read the Word of God, that Jesus and the Spirit are kind of mixed up. They're kind of intertwined. And sometimes it's almost like, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about the Spirit or are we talking about Jesus? I'll give you a couple of examples here. Paul in his letters, you know, opens this up. Philippians 1 and verse 19. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. He actually calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Jesus. Acts 16 and verse 7. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north to the province of Bithynia, but again the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. Paul was a man that knew that to listen to Holy Spirit was to listen to the voice of Jesus as well. Galatians 4 and verse 6, and because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. We're hearing that God himself is saying that the Spirit will bring such intimacy into our lives that we will call God Abba, Daddy, Father. Through the Spirit, we get that relationship with the Father and through Jesus Christ. So I ask the question then, having understood that, are Jesus and the Spirit the same person? No, they're not. They are two distinct beings, two distinct entities. Holy Spirit has a personality all of his own. You'll discover that when you read the Word. But They are so close. They are so intertwined. They are so not in conflict with one another. There's no competition between the Godhead. When you listen to one, you listen to the other. When you love one, you love the other. And so Jesus sends his Spirit so that we can have him. They're indistinguishable from each other. Holy Spirit was sent by Jesus so that we can feel his presence and his closeness. I'll read to you John 14, verse 16. This is in the Amplified Version. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Interesting, he says here, another comforter. In the Amplified, it says the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, and the standby. So it's a bit like Jesus almost. He's our advocate, and he's our counselor, and all those things as well. So another comforter. That he may remain with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, which is another name for the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive or welcome or take into its heart because it does not see him. So often the world trips up here. Christians trip up here because we want to work with our senses. We want to work with our eyes. We want to see and touch and feel. And yet God is saying that no, he is of spirit. What's the thing that we're doing? Not of this world. We are supposed to enter into a supernatural walk, a supernatural realm in our walk with God. This is his desire for us. And it goes on from there. Because it does not see him or know and recognize him, but you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. All things that Jesus brought to the disciples whilst in the flesh are now available to us through his Spirit. I remember I used to say sometimes, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could be one of the disciples and actually walk with Jesus side by side through the dusty streets of Israel and be able to have him speaking to us as we walked by his side. But I've discovered something. I don't have to be jealous of the disciples at all because I've got that. I've got that through the power of the Holy Spirit, that I can walk with Jesus so closely that I can feel him and know him and hear him for what he has to say to me. John 14, 16, the Holy Spirit of truth, this is in a different version, the Holy Spirit of truth, who will be to you a friend just like me. And he will never leave you. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him. But you will know him intimately because he will make his home in you and live inside of you. When we get saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. That's the guarantee of salvation at the point. But God doesn't want him just to be a little part inside us. He doesn't want it just to be in our spirit. Jesus, the Father, want the Holy Spirit to bubble up from within us and become rivers of living water that would actually consume us and flow out of us and touch this world. Jesus, I wanted to be a friend of Jesus. And so he introduced me to the Spirit so that that could become possible. I didn't want just an intellectual knowledge of Christ from what I could learn and study. I wanted to be intimate fellowship and revelation through the power of the Holy Spirit. That same difficulty that we have, because we're dealing with something that's so much outside of our flesh experience, is so much outside of what we have known in the past. That same difficulty that we have is something, here we are, the same difficulty we're accepting, the Holy Spirit is the perfect reflection of Jesus, is the same challenge that the disciples had accepting that Jesus was the perfect reflection of God. Same thing. All the disciples had known before Jesus came along was the Word of God and God. Mighty Jehovah, Yahweh, their relationship to God through the millennia that they had had. And yet here comes this Savior who is very, very different to what they expected anyway. He didn't come as a mighty warrior. He came as this peaceful man who wanted to go them in a different way that they expected. And he's talking to them in John 14, verse 6. And he says, Jesus told him, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. That's a pretty bold statement to make for this Messiah to be saying to them. If you had really known me, you would know my Father. From now on, you do know him if you have seen me. And listen to the response that Philip says to him. Lord, just show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. It's an interesting response that Jesus comes back with. It's almost like you can imagine Jesus going, have I been with you all this time and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does the work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the works that you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to the Father. Now, right there is a real key. Here, Jesus is saying, look at me and you'll see the Father. But in a very short time, Jesus is going. He's going to leave their presence and he's going back to heaven. So you can imagine them thinking, well, hang on. If we see you, we see God. But now what happens? You're not around anymore. It's because he wants to repeat this lesson to us. When you see the Spirit, you see Jesus. Just Spirit, just show us Jesus. Just show us Jesus. That's all we need. Don't you understand? When you see me, the Spirit, you see Jesus. When you walk with me, the Spirit, you walk with Jesus. Because we are so close. When you walk with me, I will show you the Father, just like Jesus showed you. That is what he's going to do. Jesus is no longer here in the flesh. He's gone to be with the Father. But he has sent Holy Spirit to be with us, to show us the Lord and tell us what the Father wants, to empower us for great works as well. Jesus said this to his disciples, that you will do greater things because I am going home to the Lord. And yet many of us are still like Philip and don't want to go down the track that Jesus himself told us to go down. Jesus, in his grace, waited for me to desire fellowship and friendship relationship with him. And when I accepted that unconditionally, I embraced the Holy Spirit. And I got the answer I was looking for in both areas. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and I got closer to Jesus. In the message, John 14, 6 says, I will talk to the Father and he will provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of truth. The godless world cannot take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know who to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. We are taught to walk with Jesus. In his footsteps, be so close to him, have intimate relationship with him, to know him and not know just about him. That can happen through the revelation of the Spirit, as we've been talking about, whether we realize it and accept it or not. That's the way that God has set this up. In 1 John 2 and verse 5, it says, but the love of God will be perfected within the one who obeys God's word. We can be sure that we've truly come to live in intimacy with God, not by just saying, I am intimate with God, but by walking in his footsteps. See, when Jesus came, he walked with Holy Spirit. He knew what the Father wanted. He came as a man. He left his divinity, as it were. He was still God, but he left the divinity behind and he walked like us to show us how we can walk on this earth. And he walked so closely with Holy Spirit in perfect unison with him. There's a proverb, an ancient Hebrew proverb, which I came across the other day, and I just love it. It says, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. For those that have been watching TV lately, what's that show we've all been watching? The Chosen. You know, I think it's a perfect example of when Jesus comes to the disciples and he says, come follow me. But it wasn't for us just come and follow me, which is a bit of a metaphor or, you know, what that looks like. It was a literal come and follow me. Come on, walk. Get in behind me, follow me. He was their rabbi. When they followed him, guess what? They got covered in his dust. They were so close to him that the dust that he kicked up off of his heels ended up sort of covering them in dust. I'll get the band to come on back up. I love this imagery when he says this, because they walked behind him and alongside him on those dusty roads of Israel. That's the sort of dust that I want to be covered in. This sort of close relationship and proximity that they have to Jesus. It shows that we're willing to follow God, follow Jesus wherever he takes us. And I can relate to this. So I want to finish off my sermon with a bit of an Andrew parable, if you will allow me. Take you on a bit of a journey to try and summarize this. Back in about the year 2000, was a big year for me. And I was really desperately in need of God to be close to me. I had gone through a particularly difficult time and I had had a breakdown it took me a year and a half to get over that breakdown. And I needed something, and somebody walked into my life, a friend of mine called Wayne. You've heard about me speak about him in the past. But he introduced me to something. He said, do you ride push bikes? I said, oh yeah, I've ridden push bikes since I was a boy. You know, I love riding. He said, oh good. So do you mountain bike ride? I said, no, I've never mountain bike ride before. I ride a road bike. He says, oh, right. First thing he did, he provided the means for me to try this new style of riding. So he made a bike for me, a beautiful mountain bike, and he came and he gave it to me. He said, now you have no excuse. You own the bike. I want you to come riding with me. But one thing I discovered, although I was a bike rider and I had ridden for many, many, many years since I was a boy, I had no idea how to ride a mountain bike. I'm not talking about riding a mountain bike like having a four-wheel drive and never go four-wheel driving. I mean riding a mountain bike down mountain trails, you know, like this, rocks, logs, jumping over them, all sorts of stuff like that. This is the sort of riding that I was going to be introduced to. And quite frankly, it scared the living daylights out of me. So in this, Wayne said to me, Andrew, just follow me. Ride behind me. I'll tell you what's happening. Watch where I ride, because you've got to know how to discern the path, to take which, you know, where the ruts, get out, stay out of the ruts and the bits that can undo you. I'm going to show you how to do that one. And I'll give you warning when things are coming up. So just follow me. So I did that, and I got in behind him so I could, I learned how to jump my bike. I learned how to bunny hop, for those that know what a bunny hop is, on the bike, okay, and doing things like that. I learned how to descend those technical steep slopes. Interestingly, when I did it, he said to me, Andrew, get your hands off the brakes. I'm thinking, it's a downhill slope. He said, no, listen to me. He said, if you sit on the brakes, you're going to come off. You're going to come unstuck. Get off the brakes on those slopes. You've got a good bike. He said, trust the bike because you'll be able to get over it. And so I had to learn to trust, take a leap of faith many times and learn how to bike this rust. At the end of the ride, we'd be finished. And guess what? I'd be covered in dust from Wayne and following him. Interesting is I'm actually now teaching people how to ride mountain bikes. I remember Ben Prevo, when he came back from Cambodia, asked me to speak into his son's life, when they turned 13, coming of age. And so I took him out, Elijah, and taught him how to ride a mountain bike. That's another story. Anyway, so the things I learned was I needed someone to show me how to ride a mountain bike. I thought I knew how to ride bikes, but it was a whole different style of riding. Walking with Jesus through the Holy Spirit is exactly the same for us. It's a whole different walk. You can be saved and you can get into heaven and you can walk with Jesus. But if you truly want to be close to Jesus, if you want to do greater things, if you want to have the power of God through your life, then you've got to learn how to walk with Holy Spirit. It requires a leap of faith into the supernatural realm called the Holy Spirit. And that's where God wants us to live. It requires trusting in Jesus, that His desire and advice for us was to accept the Holy Spirit and all of His gifts. After He'd been walking with the disciples for 3 years, what did He say to them? He said, don't go anywhere. There's something else I've got for you. You think they would have been through a good enough university degree of walking with Jesus University. But Jesus said, no, I'm going to heaven now. You're going to need something to get you through what I want you to do in your lives. It requires me being so close to Jesus that I'll be covered with the same covering that He was walked with when He was here on earth, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will show us what path to take, to learn how to have spiritual eyes to discern the path that we're supposed to take. Because if we do it in our own strength, we'll just go down our merry little road doing the things that we want to do in our lives. But God wants us to take a different path sometimes. And Holy Spirit will show us how to do that. Sometimes the goings are going to be tough. And sometimes following Wayne, I came unstuck. I've had quite a few falls and also quite a few cramps. I remember once going up this hill after riding for about 2 hours through the Blue Mountains, and coming up this hill, both legs went into severe cramps. I just stood straight up on the bike and then went bang onto the... I got bruises. But you know what? When I was finished, it was so exhilarating to have done something that was completely outside of my ability that I'd ever done before. Sometimes it's scary. Sometimes it's hard to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and follow Him. But when you do it, and when you hear His voice, and when He speaks to you, it's something that you would never, ever regret. It's something that you'll want to pursue for the rest of your lives. Jesus wants us to seek after the Holy Spirit, to walk in His realm, so that we can be empowered and equipped to do great works and help usher in the kingdom of God. And now, more so than ever before, we need to do this. We need this so that we can be transformed ourselves in our own lives as Holy Spirit works on us and changes us. Jesus wants us to have that same spiritual vision and spiritual discernment that He showed when He was on earth. John 16 verse 7 says, but I tell you, Jesus speaking, but I tell you that I am going, I am going to do what is best for you. That is why I'm going away. The Holy Spirit cannot come to help you until I leave. But after I am gone, I will send the Spirit to you. Imagine that. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, says what I am about to do is best for you. That I go away. Because whilst I'm here, I'm in the flesh. And I can't get to you all. But because I'm going to the Father, the third part of me, the Holy Spirit, He's going to be here. And He will show you me. He will show you the Father. He will show you the way you have to walk. He will show you the truth of the Word of God. He will show you about yourself, and you'll discover how to change and be transformed into a new person, to be closer to resemble Christ. That is what His desire is. So we obey our Savior and we follow in His steps. I'm going to come back and I want to pray for you in just a sec. We're just going to sing this song just for a moment. But I want you to think about maybe the words that I've spoken today. And I hope in some way that it's maybe challenged you. Because for me, although I've been walking with the Holy Spirit 41 years now, it is a journey that you never stop learning in. It is a journey that you will always be growing in. But you've got to start somewhere. And that starts by saying, yes, this is what I desire. and then stepping into it in faith. So let's just sing this, and I'll be back in a short while.